Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our families are falling apart. We as a nation have a total mistake. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
This Sunday morning. Hope you all are having a very blessed day. And as always, we invite you to listen in, to express your opinions. You can call in at 516-531-9550. Or, of course, you can tune in online at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. Today, we don't really have a specific topic, but I want to talk about being prepared and what the time of preparations means. We know that the word says, be ye ready at all times. But first, as usual, we want to just let you listen to a few songs, and then we'll come back and we'll begin discussing our topic. First up, we have Sinash with I Know Who I Am. All right, enjoy, and we'll be back.
All I require for life, all Run it, 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 run it till I skip, huh? Till I skip and step. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's my healer, my way maker, my deliverer. Skip and step and step. Till I skip it. He woke me up.
Yeah. Oh God, once again, we come into your presence with expectancy in our hearts. God, we know you're going to bless us. So we lift our hands in the sanctuary and we give you glory and honor and praise. Come on, come on.
We lift our hands in the sanctuary. We lift our hands to give you the glory.
We lift our hands.
the Sanctuary. Then before that, we had Jonathan Nelson with Expect the Great. Before that, we had Marvia Providence with the Gospel Melody. And we started off the set with Sinash, I Know Who I Am. Just had to get a little praise, a little bit of praise and worship in there this morning for you. Again, today we're going to be talking about preparedness. What does it mean to be prepared? And as always, we always want to go before God to make sure the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are correct in His sight. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank You for this opportunity to come before You yet again for the people, Lord God. So, Lord God, I ask that You decrease me even the more and increase You in me, that these words may edify this body of Christ, and that those who do not know You may come to know You, and that yet You are a very present help in every time of trouble, and that You alone are God, and there is none before You. Lord God, we plead the very blood of Jesus over these Thy people. We bind the will of the enemy, Lord God, and bring all of his works to naught. Let those that have an ear now, God, by Your Holy Spirit, hear what You are saying to the church. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen and amen. We are all familiar with the scriptures that says, be ye ready at all times. But what does it mean to be ye ready at all times? You know, we have a few scriptures in the Bible, you know, that tells us, one says that be ready to give an answer to those who question you. See, it said, but sanctify the Lord God in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, we know, last week we talked about witnessing. And as we know that if we go out and we preach this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're always going to face questions. People are always going to question us, well, why do you believe in Jesus with all of this stuff that's happening in the earth now? People are dying. People are being killed. People are, you know, living lasciviously, giving no heed to what the Bible says. Other people will tell you that, oh, well, the Bible is not really a history book. It's just a lot of stories, a lot of myths that people wrote, and give no credence to the validity that it is a written and inspired word of God. Others may question that even if there is a God. You know, many people call their own selves, they are God in their own lives, because they believe they achieve everything through the works of their hand and just their sheer willpower without intervene or anything coming from God. They don't believe in favor. They believe in fate. See, so when we are witnessing, as it says in 1 Peter 3:15, we have to sanctify ourselves and sanctify our hearts in the word of God, that we are ready in every instance to bring an answer to any man, any person that ask a reason for the hope that we have, which is in Christ Jesus. And we give that not in arrogance. We give that, you know, not in superiority or a spirit of pride, but it says that we are ready and we speak with meekness and fear. Fear not of the people, but fear of the Lord God, because it is He that will surely speak through us in the time when it is needed. See, we need not to worry about what it is that we're going to say, because in that very hour, the Bible says that He will give us the word. He will give us what it is that we need to say. Now, first of all, let's look and see what it means to be ready, or what it means to be prepared. Ready, the definition of ready, is in a suitable state for an activity, action, or situation. Fully prepared. Being ready in a suitable state of activity. That means that you're not sitting down waiting. You are already actively doing something to get you to the goal which you need to be to get you to that, as the Bible says, that expected end. So you are already moving. You are already doing things. Prepare means to procure as suitable or necessary to get ready, to provide as, to prepare ammunition and provisions for troops, as an example, to provide ships as a defense, to prepare in entertainment, to prepare, to make all things ready, to put things in order, to make all things ready, to put things in order, meaning that you are fully prepared at that time. Whether the situation comes up or not, you are already prepared. See, so you have everything that you need. Let me say that again. You have everything that you need to reach the goal or to fulfill the purpose that God has specified for your life. So you are more than able, as the word said. You are already prepared. Down on the inside of you, you are already prepared. Let's go to John chapter 14. And we're going to begin at verse 3. And we're just going to walk through what Jesus said to the body on being prepared. And then we will know how, as he has prepared, so too that same preparedness is down on the inside of us. Again, that's John 14, starting at verse 3. And he says, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also. So Jesus is getting ready to be given up by the Jews to be crucified for our sin. And he's telling the disciples, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then after I prepare this place for you, I'm going to come again and I'm going to receive you to myself. See that this great place, this abundant life that you too may also partake of. See that where I am, you shall be also, that you won't be left. You will never be left alone, because remember, the Bible says, I will never leave, nor will I ever forsake you. Verse 4 says, and whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. So he's telling you, listen, you already know where I'm going, and you already know the way. But Thomas, in verse 5, Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? So this is Thomas saying, what? Wait a minute. Now, you're talking about where you going, we already know, but we don't even know where you going. So how can we know the way? See, how can we possibly know the way? But Jesus was not talking about a certain direction. He was talking about the work. See, he was talking about the work, the signs and wonders and all the commandments that he had spent this time while he was with the disciples, teaching them, and not only teaching them, it just wasn't a word of mouth, but showing them. Jesus explicitly showed them the way, the new way. See, that just because a person sins doesn't mean that the only alternative is death. See, because I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. He says that I have gone and I have taken the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Because remember, if you look at the law, if you look at the Torah, if you look in the Old Testament, read Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you will see that if men or women, whomever, committed a sin, it didn't matter the age. If it called for stoning, then you were stoned. There was always an immediate consequence for the sin or the act of sin that you committed. And remember, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So sometimes it was immediate death. And it was not just death for that person. Because sometimes, like the battle of Ai, when he sinned against God and he took the silver, God instructed them. He said, listen, we're going to go over here and we're going to fight these people. God is going to give us the victory, but we are not to touch the spoils. We are not to touch anything. Everything we leave there. We leave everything there. See? But see, Achan and it was him. He stole. And Joshua came back, and this is Joshua chapter 8. Joshua came back and he asked God, God, why were we defeated? You decreed victory for us. So why were we defeated? And God told Joshua, get up off your face. You have not sinned or anything, but someone in the camp has. It's because the people were disobedient. See, even though they were well prepared, they knew the instructions of God. They knew what they were supposed to do. Joshua came, presented the information to the people, and he told them, listen, this is what God has said. This is what we need to do. He has given us the victory already. They were already men of war under Joshua. See, so they knew that all they had to do was pick up their weapons and go fight. And they did. But when they came back, they lost. And they couldn't understand why they lost. So when he comes back, he finds out that someone has sinned. Someone had sinned. So they went tribe by tribe, then family by family, and it came to the clan of Achan. Achan admitted, he said, listen, it was me. It was me. And I have to confess, you know, that I stole some silver and I stole some gold and some clothing. I stole these things, but this is stuff that God had already blessed the children of Israel with. Because remember, still talking about preparation, remember, God told them before they left Egypt to go to thy neighbor and borrow. See? Go to thy neighbor and borrow fine cloth, gold, and all of that. So these are things that the children of Israel, they already had. But for greed, because your eyes see stuff, just like at Eve, you know, she wasn't even paying attention to the tree. She wasn't even paying attention to the tree until the serpent and the spirit with the spirit of Satan in it spoke to her and said, but I bet you won't die, for God knows that you will be like him, knowing good and evil. Now, he didn't lie because they did know good and evil, but they weren't even supposed to eat from that tree, and she knew this. She knew what God said because she told him. But when he convinced her to just look and see how beautiful it was, then it became a desire in her heart. But God had already prepared the word in her. This is what you do not do. See? So being ready and being prepared doesn't just mean having the necessary information. It means doing the work of that necessary information. You may know it, but it is no avail and of no good to you if you do not do it. See? So here is Achan and his family. He saw these beautiful garments, these monies and things that he really didn't need. But the desire came into his heart. And so he stole them. And he took them and hid them in his tent, under his tent. And when it was all revealed by the Spirit of the Lord to Joshua, he had to go and reveal. He had to confess in front of the body. And at this time, because there was no grace for him, there was no mercy for him, even though he acted alone as a warrior. His entire family was killed. His entire family, they killed them all. They slayed them all, even though they had no part in the sin. See, they had no part in the sin. So this is what Christ is telling Thomas, you know, you have watched me. He said in verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is a way that I am preparing. And in order for you to follow that way, you've got to come through me. There is no getting around it. There's no other way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. That is our hope. See, this is the hope that Christ has left unto us. See? And working in that way, obeying his commandments, we know the place that he is, that we might be there also. So Thomas was questioning this. And then Jesus says in verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. And then Philip perks up and said, Lord, show us the Father as it suffices us. And then Jesus said in verse 9, Jesus said unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? In other words, he's saying, look, let the works that I have done speak for me. If I say that I come from the Father, if I say that I am of the Father, then as you see me work, you see the works of my Father. It's not the works of me. It is the works of the one that has sent me. Remember last week we talked about being a witness and living the life that we bring to the people. Living the witness, living, being the living testimony for the people. See, that is the witness. This is what Christ is reiterating to Philip. There is, in other words, there is no separation between me and my Father. That what I do, this is what my Father has sent me to do, that he has done also in times past. But as with his servant Moses, when Moses went up in the mount to receive the commandments from God, the people didn't see Moses. They said, we don't know what has happened to this man, Moses. So Aaron, you come and make us a God. You come and make us a cow, as with Eve. See? They had to have something visual to look at. But the Bible clearly says in Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the substance of things not seen. It's not seen. You don't have to see it. We can't see God, but we see the manifestation of his work every day. Every day that we awake, every time that we are sick, and then we are made well again. See, because what works for us may not work for the next person. There are all different kinds of maladies and allergies and things that people can't do or can't take that may be different from person to person and situation to situation. But those that call upon the name of the Lord and believe, then they are healed. We have many, many testimonies of people being healed from cancer, people being healed from diseases that should have killed them. Being healed when the next person next to them was not, for whatever reason. God knows best. It is his will that we live and not die. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper and what? And be in good health. But again, back to the first scripture that we said in 2 Peter, it says that have we prepared our heart? That very well may be the difference between life and death. That in the time of calamity, what does our heart say? Does it agree with the word of God that we shall live and not die? Or do we simply accept the sickness and the illness and the things and the plots and plans and schemes of the enemy against our life? Being in a state of unbelief. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That means agree with what he is saying concerning you. Preparation. This word prepares us for every situation and every circumstance that comes up in our life. We are ready to give an answer, not just to the physical man, but to the spiritual man, the enemy that comes against us, that speaks against the word of God. Are we prepared to give an effectual answer? When he says what we can't do, do we say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me? See? Are we ready? Do we have that word in our heart? Is it sanctified within us? Because remember, the word said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But how is that greater in you if it's not manifested, rooted, and grounded in the word of God? See? So then after Jesus was done talking to Philip, he said in verse 10, believest thou not that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. See, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He does the work. Jesus took no credit. He said, listen, let me tell you something. When you see me, you see the Father, because it is the Father that is working in me. I'm not talking about me. I'm not speaking of myself, but it's the Father, his spirit that dwelleth in me, that allows me to do these works. It allows me for you to see a demonstration of power in the earth because of that Father, which is in heaven. Because we are one. In and of myself, I can't do anything unless the Father allows me to. I can't. It's not in me. It's not of me, of myself. It is a spiritual thing. So when I say that I'm going to prepare a place for you, see, this place you will know not by flesh, but this place you will know by the Spirit. See? Because when Adam and Eve fell, there was a spiritual separation between man and God. But because I am going to give my life for the very sin of every man, see, of every human being, that they may have the opportunity to come back and to get to know the Father, to come back in a right relationship with Jehovah God, the great I am that I am. Because he is all and in us all that believes in him. See? And verse 11, he said, believe me that I am the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. What you have seen me do, that which you have seen me, if you don't believe me, if you don't believe who I say that I am, who that I say that I am, then believe me for the work's sake, because these are the works of my Father. This is not my works in and of myself, but this is the work of the Father. If you don't believe anything else, then believe what your eyes see. See? Until you can get to that point where you are spiritually able to believe Hebrews 11 and 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. It is the evidence of the things not seen. You didn't know that you was going to walk through that bout of cancer when they only gave you 6 months to live. But you yet confess in your heart, God, you are my healer. I shall live and not die. And 15, 16, 20 years later, you're still here, alive and well, walking in divine favor and healing, because you simply believe what thus saith the Lord, that over what thus saith man. Because it is only God who knows your beginning and your ending. He says, I am the author, the beginning, and the finisher, the ending of your faith. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So if you know that, whatever happens in the middle while we walk this earthly life really doesn't matter. It only matters what you do about it? Do you trust God to bring you through? Do you believe God that which he has spoken over your life? Or do we indeed allow the spirit of doubt and unbelief to convince us to go and see and do and think otherwise? I'm not saying be perfect. I'm not saying that you're never going to have a time in your life when you doubt whether God can, will, God should, God, how, God. We talked about that last week as well. We are going to have instances when we just don't know, because we don't know every situation or circumstance that is going to come up in our life. We've not lived our lives yet. We've not been in some of those situations before. So in the midst of it, even in the times when we don't know, even in the times when we feel like we can't believe, if we've got a scripture, if we've got the word of God down in our hearts, the Holy Spirit will bring back to our remembrance the very thing that we need to get through. He says, I will never leave nor forsake you. God will bring those things back to our remembrance. But we must prepare ourselves in the time of preparation, in studying, in reading, in meditating on his word, regardless of how difficult it may seem. We a lot of times you say, oh, every time I read the Bible, I get sleepy. Okay, go to sleep, wake up, pick up back where you left off at. Bind the will of the enemy, rebuke the spirit of sleepiness, and get back to it. We have the tools. We have our weapons of warfare against every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy. Our only defense or our only downfall is not using. Not utilizing what's already, utilizing the weapons that are already in our arsenal. Remember, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. All those distractions, all those worldly distractions are the things of the world. And as Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, whither I go, you know, because I have shown you. So how can you say you don't know? You know. I have shown you. Philip didn't have any need to ask him to show us the Father, because he was the very evidence. Christ was the very evidence walking in the midst of them. Verse 12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, ye shall do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. He already told him, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now he's telling you that the very works that I have done, that you've seen me do, that you have witnessed me do, that you hear about, you are going to do also. See? You're going to do them also. 21, he says, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. The evidence. The evidence, the very evidence is going to be in you. Verse 13, and whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. No question. No question. Anything that you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. Not for your sake, not for you to be glorified, that God might receive the glory. My Father might receive the glory. So it's not about pride. It's not about proving a case. It's not about exalting oneself. It's about bringing glory to God in all things that we do. And Jesus goes on to tell them, you know, that if you love me, then you keep my commandments. I'm going to pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be with you forever. As long as you are in me, I am going to be in you. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. He's telling, listen, I am the Spirit of truth. We already told him, I am truth, the way, and the life. He said, now this Spirit of truth, it is with you, but the world, it doesn't know it. But it's going to be with you, and indeed it's going to dwell in with you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He keeps reiterating. Listen, call on me, I'm going to come. Call me, I'll come. Call me, I'll come. No doubt. No reason for any other interpretation. This is that hope. This is that preparedness in knowing, regardless of what the situation is, regardless of what the circumstance that comes up in your life, if you call on the name of the Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, he will be a very present help in the time of trouble. Even when you don't see it. But if you can remember the words, because if he did it before, how much so will he not do it again? But have we prepared our hearts, as it says in Peter? See? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What are you saying in your heart? When your mind tells you differently, what does your heart say? Does it say you will stand steadfast on the things of God, that if he did it before, he will definitely do it again? I am going to be unmovable, unshakable in the word of God, regardless of what the situation around me look like, regardless of what it feels like, but what thus saith the Lord concerning me? That's the preparation. That's the being ready and out of season. That's what it means. See? That commitment that spurs you on, regardless of what anybody else around you is saying, regardless of what anybody around you or you yourself even is going through. That is that preparedness, meaning of be ye ready. It's the work. It's in the work. See, so when we talk about that scripture and we look here again at 1 Peter 3:15, it says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you. It's not about you. It's about what is in you. It's about all the Bible studies. It's about all the prayer time. It's that relationship with Christ that you have. That one-on-one relationship with Christ that you have that leads and guides your daily life. That keeps you going. And you don't lose hope because you know that Christ Jesus, your only hope. And you're not afraid to tell somebody else about it. You're not afraid. Because you are rooted and grounded in Christ. And you know that God has prepared a place for you. And that place is in you, within you. And greater. See? So you are well able to contend with every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy. And come out victorious. Be ye ready. Be ye ready. This has been Pastor Leona Ross with If My People, Blog Talk Radio. I do hope this word has edified your spirit, edified your souls for today. We will be back here again next Sunday at noontime. Blessings on you for a peaceful and proper, prosperous day. We're going to go out of here with some Sinash and a couple of more to send you on your way with a merry melody. Blessings on you. And until next week, this has been Pastor Leona Ross with If My People. You guys have a blessed and great day.
you retreat. You say you just can't win. Before you let the circumstance tell you how the story ends, God's a
word. You know what?
Let me say I know that feeling well.